A reflection for the fifth Sunday of Easter on Acts chapter 8 verses 26 to the end. Philip's meeting with the Ethiopian eunuch is usually read as a story about mission. And indeed it is, as Luke is narrating the spread of the gospel radiating out from Jerusalem. But reading it at the moment emphasises to me that it's also a story about inclusion. A marginal reference in my Bible directed me to Isaiah 56, a chapter Jesus quotes from as he drives out the traders from the court of the Gentiles. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." The word "all" is significant. The passage speaks about the admission of both foreigners and eunuchs into the body of God's people, reversing some of the restrictive edicts of the Jewish law. This was the Lord's doing. "Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." We might recall last week's words of the Good Shepherd about gathering other sheep not of this fold. God was calling post-exilic Judaism to be more inclusive than some of the interpretations which had gone before. Maybe this was a sign of maturity in the belief of Israel, no longer a tribal religion, but now a faith on an international scale. In the Acts of the Apostles, Christianity is in its infancy. Yet here we have the baptism of a man who is both a eunuch and a foreigner, also fulfilling a verse of Psalm 68, that Ethiopia will stretch out her hands to God. Christianity spread partly by inclusion. Philip is not the apostle, but with Stephen, recently martyred, was one of the seven chosen to assist with the distribution of food to those in need, particularly Greek speakers. He comes to this scene fresh from evangelising Samaria. Samaritans, of course, were far from included in mainstream Judaism. Soon we shall see Peter in the house of Cornelius, baptising Gentiles. And Luke also draws our attention to the prominent role of women in the developing Christian communities. As the church diversified, it grew. Not that inclusion was a worked-out strategy for growth. Luke makes it clear that this was the will of God, driven by the Spirit. Philip appears to be a willing participant. Peter and others would take more convincing. If the church did begin in this inclusive way, we might feel that wasn't maintained throughout its history, thinking perhaps of the Crusades or the internal hostilities of the Reformation. In 21st century Britain, inclusivity is high on the secularist agenda. For many, the Church of England lags way behind. I know that people will comment on the fact that the next Bishop of Lynn is a woman, either because that's a novelty, which in this day and age it shouldn't be, or because they disapprove. But the church isn't called to follow the secularist agenda, but to seek the will of God. And we don't always agree on what we discern that to be. That's particularly true in matters of sexuality, identity, and marriage. Conversations about which are encouraged by a Church of England initiative called Living in Love and Faith. And then there's the question of racial inclusion. We've all heard of Black Lives Matter. A newly published church report, From Lament to Action, criticises a lamentable lack of progress in giving racially diverse Christians welcome and authority in the Church of England. So I'm hearing more than usual at the moment about diversity and inclusion, and that's likely to continue. It's one of 9 areas of work identified in the Bishop's developing vision for the diocese. I wonder why it's a subject I don't rush to engage with. It doesn't feel like a live issue for us. But then why, for example, is our area not ethnically diverse? Is there actually latent racism? Or am I avoiding potentially divisive or sensitive territory, risking exposing previously unrecognised prejudice in myself or others? That makes me think it's something we should be looking at together. A move towards maturity in our faith, even if it may feel a bit like the pruning which Jesus promises to the branches of his vine. I'm also conscious that, whether considering ethnicity or age profile, our church communities are narrow, especially when compared with the richness of the Kingdom of God. Nevertheless, we share with that Ethiopian eunuch the identity of being baptized into Christ, in whom, as St. Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.